Hey guys, I'm Stevie Nelson.
And I'm Dave Horwitz.
And this is I Burn Everything, a food and relationship podcast.
Hi, Stevie.
Hey, Dave.
You know, I'm recording in my closet. We had a slight delay and we had to restart, but that's okay because we're just making do with what we've got. I'm trying to makeshift soundproof thing. I'm on my laptop. I ordered a little USB hub. And I have a little lamp in my closet, and it's very cramped in here.
It looks tight. As I'm looking at you in this Google Hangout, I'm noticing that you seem compact.
Yeah, my shoulders are hunched in here. And that's maybe like just one of many good reasons to just dispense with the pleasantries and maybe kick this episode off. Although real quick, do you want to talk about how a stranger just walked into your yard?
I would love to. Yeah, I saw an old woman about 80 years old, gently unlatch my gate, walk into my yard, touch my tree, and walk out. And then I asked her if she needed something, and she took her pointer finger and shook no at me. Loved it.
Yeah, I you did it to me on the video, and I thought the first thing I thought was,
Yeah, it's like I love the vibe of an old woman trespassing on my property and then being like, do not talk to me.
Do not talk to me. My faculties are leaving my brain and body quickly. It's a sad reality, and I don't want to talk to you about it. Goodbye.
Yeah.
But you know what I would like to talk about?
Our guest.
Our guest.
Tell me about her.
She's a writer. She's a podcaster. You can hear her shows Classroom Crush and Jacking Off, which is about Jack Black. It's not a dirty thing, but it is a dirty title. Yeah. New Yorker friend, all around great person, Rebecca Bolness. Let's go.
I burn everything. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi. Okay, I'm obsessed with the fact that you just called me New Yorker.
I mean, you are a New Yorker.
No, like, absolutely, I live in New York, and especially now that I'm not one of the people who, like, fled New York, I'm like, okay, I've been here for 2 years, but actually I'm a New Yorker now, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't go home to mommy and daddy.
I'm real fucking New York now.
You're the only, because you didn't flee, you now have the title of New Yorker.
Yeah, yeah, I'm so tough. I'm gonna date an Italian American as soon as this gets out. You know, I'm gonna
You're basically living the movie Moonstruck.
Mm. Okay, yes, I am. And okay, I just got really excited because then it made me think of another thing that I wanted to say, which is that, which now I have to explain it because it doesn't actually relate. Because I feel Moonstruck, basically what I'm trying to say is that, and I'm obsessed, first of all, I'm obsessed with talking about something visual on this podcast.
Sure.
Because we're just doing it. We're not even in the same room. No. But Stevie, see, in my brain, I'm like, Stevie, you look like Michelle Pfeiffer. Have you heard this?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Because, and I'll tell you the way that it happened in my brain is that the most recent thing that I watched Michelle Pfeiffer in, okay, actually, I was going to say it's Frankie and Johnny. That's what I was going for, but then I remembered it's actually Hairspray, the film Hairspray.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The remake musical movie. Yeah,
which is good. Okay,
I've never seen it.
That's
me neither.
I'm really feeling sad for you today.
Should we see it? Should we see it?
Yeah, I think everyone's giving basically Oscar-worthy performances all around.
All right,
that's the one with John Travolta playing the divine role, right?
Yes, and he's having the fucking time of his life, let me tell you.
Oh, love that
performance. But in my mind, Frankie and Johnny is in some way linked to Moonstruck, which is where that's how I got here, is what I'm trying to explain.
And wow. Frankie and Johnny what?
Frankie and Johnny is Michelle Pfeiffer, and you know how I love him, Al Pacino.
I thought I was gonna have to get it. I thought I was gonna have to wrench it out of you. Now,
opposite. We just struck gold.
Stevie was like, is there anything I should know about Rebecca before we record, and I was like, well, this is what she looks like, and I sent her a picture of you, and I was like, oh, and she's wearing a necklace that says Al Pacino on it.
Okay, weird.
And then I was like, and then I was like, this is what she looks like. That she loves Al Pacino. She's in the process of writing two plays.
He said she's a playwright.
Yeah, he said a playwright, I'm sure.
I did not say that we had a very sad dinner, a late night dinner at the Kellogg Diner in Brooklyn together, but we did.
You would have mentioned that to me, top of mind.
But I was like, oh, she loves Al Pacino, like, romantically, so we should maybe get her to talk about that. And I didn't even have to try.
Yeah. Sorry that I'm not giving you an opportunity to host, to, you know, to pry.
We don't need that. A dream podcast guest doesn't give us the opportunity to host. They just do whatever they need to do.
No, I mean,
one time one of our guests didn't let us do that and then made us take the episode down.
It was wild. Really?
Oh my God. This is so interesting because I actually wanted to ask you how you're feeling podcasting amid, you know, in this way, quarantine vibes, because, and like, I should not say this because I did put this episode out, but I did an episode of my podcast Classroom Crush recently that like, I felt like wasn't a good episode. And then it straight up ruined my week. I was like, cool. I'm terrible at what I do. This person thinks I'm terrible at what I do. And I mean, I put it out and of course I edited it and I re-listened to it. And I was like, this is really not as bad as I thought it was. And I've never not put out an episode. I wanted to sometimes, but
name.
I felt like it was my fault and I felt really bad about myself. And I think it's because of also just like the shift of doing it in this way, you know?
But yeah.
I think how are you guys feeling about it?
I think it's very hard to, I mean, it helps to see each other, but I think it's very hard to have the natural chemistry that we all have in person when you're sitting at a table with people and knowing when to talk next and being able, even sometimes talking at the same time, but it's so hard to have a flow. And I find myself feeling the same way you do, where I end an episode and I'm like, did I even say anything? Did I say anything good? Like I have so much more time to judge it. It's almost like, because it's, I don't know, it's a little wonkier.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like, I feel confident to say that I don't need everyone to like me, you know. I don't.
Speak for yourself.
Dave's laughing. But the thing, I don't need everyone to like me. But when I get the feeling that we maybe didn't click or didn't get along, then I feel like, oh my God, like, okay. I want to have chemistry with everyone, you know, whether they fucking like it or not, you know?
Yeah. Well, doesn't it also feel like, because sometimes of the glitches for recording remotely, doesn't it sort of feel like if there's even like a pause of delay, you're just like, they hate me and never want to talk to me again? Also, Dave, I just have to say this, watching you in the closet, it kind of feels like, here's what it feels like to me. It feels like we are just totally ignoring the fact that you're like, there's like a murderer in your house and you're recording an episode of a podcast and Rebecca and I are in these like nicely lit apartments and we're just pretending like you're not in danger.
I mean, I organically, I think that is very relevant to what you guys are talking about right now, because I had an idea for a way to maybe make my audio sound a little bit better. Our collective idea is we had a couple episodes where we were not like FaceTiming or Zooming with people. And we're like, let's try to do video, which maybe hurt the episodes a little bit. I don't think we've had a bad episode so far, but it definitely isn't the same. I will say that I think having the video and the audio going at the same time is causing a slight delay, but I think we got to just roll with it because it is really important. It's important to see. I mean, we interviewed a guy who, this guy, Joshua, an acting teacher and an actor who had coronavirus and lived through it, and it was a very intense story. Wow. And I think if we weren't, if I wasn't seeing him, and he had a great Zoom setup, and his room was well lit, and it felt like we were all there. And then 40 minutes into the Zoom call, it's not free anymore, so it cuts off and ends. And so we were just like, we had 20-30 more minutes where we're like, okay, well, I guess we're not going to see you anymore.
And, it goes weird and fast.
And now I'm sitting in the closet because I desperately want my vocals to sound better.
Yeah.
And I put a different pop filter on my mic.
I saw that.
Because I was like, maybe it's the filter.
Yeah. New color. I have a nice shade of red.
And I have a brand new laptop that the battery drains really fast, but I don't have a plug in my closet. And it's like, we must really like podcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah. We must really like this if we're doing everything we can to make it happen. And you know what? I've listened to one of my favorite movie podcasts on The Ringer. I've listened to Mark Maron's podcast. Guess what? They sound exactly the same. Congratulations to these corporate podcasting fat cats.
Yeah. I mean, No, we're really roughing it out here as, you know, DIY podcasters
on these digital streets.
I do feel like me and Stevie do look like we're like fun loving like a lesbian couple, like we're maybe hosting or something.
Yeah.
And we're like secretly terrible parents. We like don't give a shit about you, our son Dave, but I think it's a fun energy. It's a fun energy to play with, especially since you and me are actually friends and I've just met Stevie, but I do feel closer to her now because we're both lit, you know?
Yeah.
Key
to friendship.
A lot of times,
good lighting.
A lot of times the dynamic on the show is if it is two female guests, there will be a bit of they'll lock into each other, and it's not that they're turning on me, but the energy does change. And then who even knows, you know, who knows where I fit in? I'll tell you where I fit in the closet.
Yeah. Yep.
We should put out the episode should just be called In the Closet and just confuse a lot of people.
Fair. Yeah. In the Closet with Rebecca Bolness. And then we're like, what is she saying or not saying?
Yeah. Actually.
Rebecca, we've asked you here on the show because, well, for many reasons. Thought you'd be a great guest. So far, I'm correct. But I would love a quarantine crush update. I want to know what's going on in these streets. I want to know what's going on in these DMs. Yeah. I want to know what's going on in the mind of someone who is in the choir. And if I know anything about you, if your podcast is any indication, you are a person who has crushes.
Now that is true. Let me tell you. The quarantine crush update is, you know, it's that I want one. I want a new one. I'm always getting new ones. I'm asking them to be on my podcast, obviously. What they are like, so this is fun. I get why we're looking at each other, right? Like it makes sense for this podcast, but a thing that I've done on my show is I'm just calling people on the phone, so I'm not looking at them, which has made it a really interesting dynamic because it's like if I'm vibing, I shouldn't say any of this, but I'm saying it. It's fine.
Say it.
No. It's like if I'm vibing with someone on the show, it's like it feels instantly romantic because I'm not seeing them. So I can just kind of like, and I sort of talked about this on the episode I just recorded with your friend, Mookie, where it's like, if I like the idea of, like, sometimes I'll just sit back in it and I'm like, oh, I'm imagining like, oh yeah, they're in their house. And like, and that's so interesting. And they're in their house talking to me actually. And it's kind of romantic to just like imagine someone on the phone with me while they're on the phone with me. And then that makes it really easy to kind of like just project the whole thing onto it if I want to, you know, just like, oh yeah, we're just talking and it's not late night, but it's dark outside right now. And you know,
it's like how we connected. Like, do you remember when you get a call in like middle school from like the person you had a crush on and you're just like, oh my gosh. And you're just sitting in your room. Like, just, I don't know. It just feels, so exciting.
It's totally exciting. It's like when I would give my people my landline phone number because I didn't have a phone, or give my mom my mom's cell phone, and then just be in my room talking about fucking bullshit. Who cares? That was so exciting. And that's kind of like what I'm adopting now. I wouldn't say I have like a central focus yet of like a person. Okay. But a thing about me is that I've been looking for like a pandemic my whole life, which is terrible, but like,
wait, what?
Okay.
You found one.
I did.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, I've talked about this on the show, definitely some points, but like growing up, I loved a natural disaster narrative, a pandemic narrative, just like anything like an apocalypse narrative.
High stakes,
right?
A high stakes narrative.
Exactly. A high stakes romance. So classically, I mean, one of my big go-to fantasies as a child was that big natural disaster happens while I'm at Aventura Mall in South Florida in Aventura, and everyone's at the mall. But then, ring, 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 sirens. There's a big natural disaster and you have to get out of here because they're doing lockdown. It's completely real. And then everybody, flees the mall to go home and whatever, but I get trapped there, right? Like big doors come down. I'm trapped in Aventura Mall and I'm alone for a week. This is crucial to the narrative, is I'm alone for a week and I'm terrified. I'm completely alone in the vast halls of Aventura Mall. But then one day I hear something and I'm like, what's that? I get scared. I'm like, what's that? And then guess what it is? It's obviously Rupert Grint of the Harry Potter films.
Oh my God.
And he's there and I'm there and we're like, wait, I thought I was alone this whole time. And we're hearing scary noises from outdoors. And then we ride out this very like Day After Tomorrow, scary high stakes sort of like scenario together. And like, yes, we fall in love. We use skateboards to go through the halls because it's really big, through the mall because it's really big.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's still working. So like the food court is functional. So we just make a lot of food.
Electricity's still good.
Yeah. One night we get scared. We had been sleeping in like separate beds the whole time. But then at one point we get scared and we like want to be close. This is just real. This is just real life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sleep in the same bed and we like kiss and we like fall in love. So that's kind of like where I'm coming from.
Okay.
So you've been waiting for this for an extremely specific reason.
I've always been obsessed with the idea, and maybe it's because I can't like think of someone just like choosing to love me, that I'm like, I love the idea of like people being trapped with me and then realizing that I'm perhaps the love of their life. So basically I'm like, I'm so mad that I'm not quarantined with a boy that I want to kiss, you know, because I feel like I got cheated.
I don't know. Everyone I've talked to about being quarantined with a boy is really not having it. Also, I got to say this. That's what a great mall fantasy. Love it. Why Rupert Grint and not anyone else from Harry Potter? Is he your type?
He was my OG. It was him and Malfoy and you know, little Tom Felton. I'm a freak. I love the ginger. I love that he's like, I'm a dude, you know? He's like, I'm fucking... Because I also felt like probably of my friends, like I would have been the Ron Weasley. So I'm like, we're the same. We both don't like spiders. I don't know. we're both always wanting the affection of someone who's like not giving it to us. So I'm like, yeah, then I will be the person to love him. Because in my mind, Rupert Grint is just Ron Weasley.
So sweet.
It all honestly checks out. It does. It reminds me a little bit of Dawn of the Dead, the zombie movie where they're trapped in a mall, which is,
yes.
I will say, it's not, that's not the most romantic movie, but it is basically the situation you're describing.
I mean, there's an innate horniness to it, if you allow that, you know?
True. Same can be said for pretty much anything.
Oh, my God.
But my main, if you allow it, So my biggest question about your scenario is, and you can take as much time as you want. I'm sure you've been thinking about this for years. Hmm. How come you need to wait several days before you discover that Rupert Grint is there?
Wow. I don't know if I've actually thought of that. I
feel like I know why, but I want you to answer first.
Oh, okay.
Psychoanalyze it. Okay, here we go. My take on it is this. Based on what you said you think you're not lovable unless someone's trapped with you, and then they have an aha moment of realizing it's you all along, right? Like, it's every romantic movie, like being like, wait a second. Okay, yeah. My take is this. It would not be interesting in your narrative if you immediately ran into each other and started hanging out. You have to be just lonely enough and just scared enough and about to lose hope, and then you meet him.
See, this is very interesting for me to hear, because I'm listening, when I'm hearing you say this, I'm actually, and Nick, and I sound like I'm joking, but I'm actually not. I'm thinking about it just like in real relation to my actual life, which is that I've always been alone. I've always wanted to not be alone, but can survive being alone. Like, you know, I think I know a lot of people who need, and now I'm just being deep, but like, I know a lot of people who need another to like inform who they are. And I don't think I've ever, you know, I'm not going to say I've been fucking enlightened my whole life, but I do think I've been sort of this individual person for a long time. Okay. With being that outside of the context of other people, but I've always wanted another person. So it's interesting, because I feel like that is actually just my life, is that my life thus far has been the like week long wandering around the mall, and I am waiting, and I am in many ways waiting for Rupert Grint to become around the corner. I am, though apparently he is having a baby with the girl who starred in Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging. Is that what it's called?
What?
I gotta see this picture.
Angus Thongs and something's not, and you know that British movie where they're like, we're teenagers and we're not popular, but we want to be kissing. Yeah,
I mean, whatever the actual title is, sounds like the most British production of all time.
It's, I mean, okay, you know who's in it is Aaron Taylor Johnson, that fucking cutie actor.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, it's all, it, you got the name right. It's Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging.
Hell yeah.
She's 5'4". She's 5'4".
Angus is the boy, I think. Thong, like the go up your ass, Dave. Ever heard of it?
Yeah, but okay.
Wear a thong in it, I think.
Okay, you know, we don't need to make too big a meal out of it, but yes, I know what a thong is in the context,
Dave,
of that bizarre
prove
sentence.
Prove it.
All right, I will prove it. My underwear drawer is right here because I'm in my closet.
Oh, wow,
I'll show you.
Hold it up.
I'll show you what I got. It's just a pair of socks.
Oh, that's nice.
You got to keep those feet warm. It's all right.
Thank you so much. So tell us about who Rupert Grint is marrying, Stevie.
Oh, okay.
Or who he's having a baby with.
Okay, so he's married to Georgia Groom. And I guess the thing that I think is the most interesting so far in Googling this is I'm pretty sure his sister's name is also Georgia. And that upsets me that he's marrying a Georgia. But also, let me check this. Let me check my facts, okay? Let me check these facts, because you never know. Personal life, okay? He gives to charities.
Okay, well, you're fact-checking. I will check in with Rebecca. Now, you knew that he was having a baby with this woman, but when I said he was married, you moved the mic away from your face, and and made you looked absolutely devastated.
I didn't know they were married. I thought they were just having a baby together.
You thought there could still be a chance.
Yeah.
Are they married? I think they're married.
I don't know.
Oh, his Rupert's sister is Georgina, which is different than Georgia.
That's almost worse because that's a bigger chance to slip up and say the wrong name.
In
either call your sister by the name of your wife or call your wife the name of your sister.
I have a correction. No, we don't like that. Also, correction. You are in luck. It is just his girlfriend.
God. And that's beautiful because I'm looking to be a stepmother. Every day.
You'd be a cool stepmother.
You're still pretty young to be a are you looking to be a young stepmother? Like the kid that you're like you're maybe it's an older husband. There's some teenage kids or something.
I think what could rock for me is for for a minute there to because in all seriousness, I've always liked older men, whatever. But like, I want to have a child. Yes, I know I'm too young to have a child at this present moment. What if I just fucking date an older guy who's got some kids for a little bit, you know, and then, you know, it doesn't work out. But I got to be a little stepmom for a second there and maybe satiate that need for a minute until, you know, that's just I'm just thinking out loud.
Is that on the table for you? I mean, does that interest you when you're saying it out loud?
Absolute. I have an old crush who I don't have any I can't contact in this present moment because I don't have his contact info because it was a real life person that I would see, you know, in my job, etc., that I don't currently have. I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking that I could be a nice little wife for a second. He doesn't have kids, but I don't. Does he have kids? I don't know. I don't think so.
You don't even know if he has kids.
I don't. That's actually someone that I could have a child. I don't know.
Well, my question to you is: first of all, I think that could be nice for you.
Thank you.
However, think about these current times. Now, imagine. Now, here's the scenario for you. You actually have locked it down. It's February 2020. You're having a whirlwind time with this person that you know from your job.
Okay.
He's divorced. He's got two kids. You're spending a lot of time over there. It's like
how old are the kids?
The kids are. There's a girl who's 8, and there's a boy who's 14.
What are their names? Okay, what are their names?
But go on.
The 8-year-old girl's name is Penny
Pepper.
And the boy's name is Pepper. Yes, okay. The girl's name is Pepper. And the boy's name is Robbie.
And what? How did that happen?
Well, he's the first kid and they gave him a super normal name and then they were like, "Let's be funky with this one, Pepper."
Okay, cool.
So random right now.
so here's the scenario. 5 weeks in, you're spending so much time over there. He's like, just move in, just be with me.
Oh.
And you're like, Leah, let's do it. And 5 weeks in is the middle of March. Boom, you're locked down with an 8-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Yeah. Some really tough ages there.
Especially, yeah.
8-year-old girl is one of the worst things that's ever existed in the world. An 8-year-old girl.
I know, but every little girl is going to be 8 years old at some point.
I mean, not all of them.
That's very sad to say.
Oh my God.
Wow. Come on, have a little fun. And then
I'm having a great time, but also I am acknowledging that sometimes there can be dead kids.
It's true. That is true.
There's an entire genre of thriller movie and TV show about it. There's a dead kid, some detective who smokes too many cigarettes comes into town, he drinks a lot, and then he shacks up with some bartender. What?
He said, you've seen Broadchurch? What a show.
No, also a British thing, right?
Yeah.
Who's on that? That's your inappropriate crush.
David Tennant.
Oh, Doctor Who.
Yeah. Child death is very sad. I'll just say, I feel like I'm getting, has this happened to you guys at all? I think I'm getting more, I'm becoming my mother in the sense that I'm becoming more sensitive to movie and TV about child death or child in peril. I'm like, it makes me very upset.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. I think I used to watch it and not have any understanding of it. And I think the older I get and the more I understand life things, the more I'm like, oh, that's too heartbreaking for me.
Totally.
I actually asked my mom one time, I got stood up so hardcore and I was like really worried the guy was dead. I was like, oh my God, he must be dead, because I didn't hear from him for like 48 hours and it was so scary. And I called my mom and I said, man, I'm so sorry. This must have been what you felt like waiting up for me. You probably had no idea if I was alive or not. And she was like, thank you for saying that. That's exactly how it feels.
Totally.
I never had any understanding of it, you know?
Yeah. My mom's a nurse or a nurse practitioner. And like my whole life has been, you know, has worked in ICU and ER and whatever. So she goes to like last or worst case scenario, like nurse brain.
My mom's a nurse too. And maybe that's why.
Totally. I mean,
Dave, is your mom a nurse?
No, but she is Jewish, so it's the same kind of worry.
She's a nurse. She's a nurse. Yeah. My mom's Jewish and a nurse. What does that say?
I mean, she's got double trouble.
I know. It's bad. It's bad.
Hey guys, Stevie here. Just wanted to say, hey, why don't you contact us? You can email us at iburneverythingpod@gmail.com, or you can even call our hotline and leave a message, 213-458-5236. It's 213-458-5236, and we may even talk about your message or email on a future episode. So get to it.
Oh, what about the kids, the 8-year-old and the 14-year-old?
Yeah, I mean, I feel that I would be good to them. I would be a good mother to them, you know? I think, okay, and Dave's laughing like he thinks that I wouldn't be interesting.
That's not what I'm laughing about.
I think that level set is free and no, it's a tough situation you've put me in, but I think I'm moving through. Just because this crush that I have, oh my God, what a guy.
and you don't even know if he has kids.
I know that he doesn't have kids, but I think I think he was a stepdad. It's like, I don't know. I literally shouldn't talk about this, but
he's a former stepdad.
Yeah, I think he's had some parenting under his belt. He absolutely could have a secret child. It's one of, you know, everyone can. Lots of people can have a secret child.
Most men, yeah.
Yeah. I had there was this guy that was flirting with me at my at a coffee shop job whenever ago. And did have a child and very casually dropped that he had a child. And then I thought asked me out. And then didn't. Is what it was. He didn't ask me out, and then, but I did tell him about this like cool restaurant. And then months later, he asked me what the name of that restaurant was, and I told him, and he said thanks. And we never went. And that's just a memory that I'm having right now. He is the son of a very famous actor who I think is hot.
Ooh.
So let that inform you. Okay.
I love it. I have two questions for you, but I'm not sure that we finished that question. You would be a good stepmom to these kids.
I'd be a good stepmom to those kids. I think he's probably rich, so we'd have enough space to sort of like, I don't know. I think I've always, genuine answer. I think I've always been good with kids because I can like talk to them like they're real people. Like my brother's 12 and I think he's like the coolest person in the world. And yeah, I think I like kids enough that I'd be okay. I'd be all right. Plus, I'd be getting that freaking dick, and then that's worth it.
In a mansion,
that guy's so hot to me. In a mansion, probably.
I imagine he has a pool too.
Oh,
absolutely.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the reason that I gave you that whole scenario is that I feel like in knowing you and knowing about some of your crushes, there is a scenario beyond just I'm dating this person. And I wonder if it's like an imagination thing. Cause with me, cause being in Quar, I guess the reason I was like, well, this is your ideal thing. What if you're stuck with these fucking kids in this scenario? Cause it's like, I'd be a good stepmom. I mean, I think I would actually make a decent stepdad. There was like a hot second where I was, whatever. Okay. A couple years ago, I went on what probably ended up being not a date, but it felt like a date at the time with a girl who had a kid. And I was like, she's great. I can date her. Her kid seems cool. And then we never saw each other ever again. but I did, there was a second where I was like, I think I could swing this, but I have not given it much thought past that. Stevie, what do you think? Do you have stepmom potential?
Look, I think I've had the same kind of fantasies Rebecca has, where it's like I meet the perfect man and he is like a 5-year-old little boy, and I don't ever have to give birth to a child, but I can be this kid's stepmom, but his mom's still in the picture, so we don't have him all the time. Yeah, I've dreamed of that vibe. But I will say this, I've tried to date dads before, and their priority is their kid, right? So they are so bad at planning dates. I had one dad like reschedule with me 4 times, and I was like, hey, daddy, I can't.
Daddy, no thanks for that. No.
Daddy, I need a fucking schedule. Like, this does not work for me. But yeah, no, I dream of coming up on a kid that I don't have to birth.
Yeah. I think I'm also, just to be like actually serious, I do think I'm like constantly, okay, and I'm just like realizing this now, I think I'm constantly like wanting to prove myself within a role, you know, and I'm rarely given the opportunity to like prove myself in a role. And it's the same instinct that makes me be like, I would be such a fucking good girlfriend, and I would be such a good fucking wife, and I would be such a good fucking stepmom, you know, like I'm wanting to be a thing to someone. Yeah. So I'm like, if that's stepmom to 8-year-old daughter and 14-year-old son, like I'll kill that shit. Just give me the chance, you know?
I do.
I get that. Do you feel at all like you were getting to a place where you felt ready, or you were like starting to date more, starting to think about dating more, and now we are now thrown into a time where it's just actually not possible unless you want to do a bunch of FaceTime, pining, yeah, texting. Have you entertained the idea of being on an app and getting a fucking e-pen pal for months?
Well, I'm like on 2 of the apps, and they're a nightmare and bleak, and everyone, ugh, God. I mean, some people find really hot, cool, interesting people on the apps, and I simply don't. And I always delete them because I just know that I'm like, okay, no, well, like, this is just not my platform. But then some shit like this happens, you know, the classic pandemic. And then I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll fucking re-download it. And it's never working out for me. I don't know if I think before all of this, I'm always looking for a boyfriend. Even when I'm not looking for a boyfriend, I'm looking for a boyfriend. I'm not looking for a boyfriend, and you'll find one. But then I wasn't. I legitimately wasn't. And I think the biggest blow about all of this is that I was genuinely very happy in like I was feeling very fulfilled by my job, which was just making me happier. And I think probably making me, even though I was very busy, probably making me a more dateable, cooler, hotter version of myself that felt like, oh, maybe it was sort of the sort of thing like, okay, I've got the job and I'm really happy in that. And like, if the fucking, and the boyfriend thing wasn't like top priority anymore, because it didn't need to take up that much of my time, but it was the sort of thing that's like, well, wouldn't it be convenient and nice if the little boyfriend thing gets folded into all of this nice life development, you know?
Yeah.
And it was seeming like maybe it could be. It's not that I had like a person I was talking to specifically, but man, let me tell you, I was strutting around these streets in nice work clothes. And I was like, I'm a fucking New York woman, you know? And now I'm sitting on the floor of not even my room. My roommate who went back home, a little coward. I'm sitting on the floor but I'm talking to you lovely folks, so that's fine. So that's good.
Can I say something? I think that vibe of like, I agree with you. I think that a vibe of like loving your job and being like, I'm in my power and I love myself. I think you can read that vibe even in an app. I can see that energy when people have that energy. I will agree with you and say, apps have never quite worked for me either. Like, I don't feel like things translate effectively. Most people I've dated in a real way I've met in life, but I think that energy shows. I feel like it shows in this podcast even. Like, you can tell that you really feel good, you know?
Well, thank you very much. No, yeah, it's that sort of thing that, I mean, so many of my friends met their partners through an app and they're like, those are now my friends and people that I love and who seemed like they always should have been in our like little group, you know? But I think, well, the problem is that I'm also, well, A, it's like, how do I translate my whole fucking thing into the app? And I think I do it okay. But I also know that I'm super judgmental. It's not all everyone else's fault. It is also my fault where I'm just like, why the fuck would you ever say that? That's stupid. Like I think I become my angriest, meanest self. And I can be pretty fucking mean, but it's this weird thing of like, oh, I really want to like, if I like you and I think you're cool, I like you and I think you're cool with my entire heart and body and soul and everything. And I'm like, you're king, you're queen, you're like everything that is cool. But if you say like one thing that's stupid on your profile, I'm like, what the, I can't turn off the part of my brain that looks at an app profile and is like, okay, I see what the fuck you were trying to do here. And like, you're really trying to seem like this, this, and that. Like, I can see what people want to be. And it bothers me because I'm like, just be, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's also, first of all, I don't think that that's why I could never really do it because I love not having to use it in the context, but to use a very oft repeated now phrase, now more than ever, it seems like it would be really painful to be on the apps and all you get is the fake representation of someone. And then if you really want to try to grow it, like a connection, you can go, okay, I'm choosing in spite of the fact that you have some weird quote about I'm looking for who am I looking for? Someone with an N95 mask or whatever the fuck.
A quarantine buddy, someone to cuddle with in quarantine. I'm like, kill me.
You be my quarantine?
Okay, fine. Just be honest.
It has to be so tough, and I also think people could really rush into stuff and go, oh my God, this is the greatest person in the world who first of all, I'm not sleeping. My sleep schedule is all fucked up. So this person wants to stay up until 4 a.m. with me and text on an app and then like send fucking whatever memes are to each other all night. Like I know, I've now entered the stage of quarantine where I've had someone in my apartment make sourdough bread. I've watched every movie. And now finally I have a Nintendo Switch Lite and I'm playing Animal Crossing. So I've checked off everything you could possibly do. But my girlfriend and I visited each other's islands and I was like, oh my God, imagine going to someone's, so it's like this, whatever, if the audience, if you don't know, it's a weird, expansive, aggressively adorable game that is like for children and also not children, but it's, you go, you're like a little fucking cute little guy and you live on an island with animals and you have to build a house and all sorts of shit, but through Wi-Fi you can go to other people's islands and like collect the fruit that grows on their island, etc. I just was like, I couldn't stop thinking about how much of a weird leveling up it would feel like in this weird time to be like, well, we're texting and like that's a pretty big deal. We FaceTimed, but we went to each other's Animal Crossing island. And one of my roommates who's been in a little quarantine thing where like the most he's ever done with the girls is taking a walk, but he talks to her constantly. He's like, the other day he was like, yeah, we went to each other's islands. So I was like, oh my God, I was right. Wow. This is a fucking real thing.
Congrats.
But I feel like once you've ticked off all of the things, all of the not real things, it's like, well, at this point, we're just going to break the rules, right? We have to.
You would have to. Yeah. You'd have to break the rules to progress it. And then it's high risk, incredibly high risk, and probably low reward.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I do enough on my own in my like little stupid brain to build expectations, you know, or like just because I'm the sort of person where like when I meet someone, I'll like immediately spiral into, you know, it's weird. I have like a flash of optimism where I'm like, this is going to happen. It's going to happen. We're vibing. He thinks I'm funny. We're connected. We have chemistry. Oh my God. Okay. Fucking cool. I'm so excited to literally date this person. And I'm like, we're dating and it's happened, you know? So like, I already do that buildup of expectation in my brain. Like I feel fine saying this here because it's not on my podcast, so it's fine. I ran into this guy that I had on my podcast like a year ago who moved and then apparently moved back. And we were not single at the same times, I don't think, whatever. But I always thought it was like an intriguing, like hot, cool, funny person. I like right before crazy lockdown started happening, I went on like an hour long walk and I ran into this guy. Like, and we talked like 6 feet away for 10 minutes. And I was like, wait, you're back? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and that happened. And I was like, okay, cool. And I was immediately like, okay, so that was literally destiny and fate. Like I joke about how I'm going to go on a walk and meet my husband and bam, there he is, you know? And yeah, for a solid like 3 days, I was like, it's fucking happening. I'm slipping and sliding in those DMs. I'm making conversation. I'm like, he asked me one question, therefore he is interested, you know, rather than just being a decent person. And yeah, for like 3-4 days, I was like all about it. And then I was like, no, this person is not like, it's not, no, it's not actually happening. And it doesn't need, and why am I being so insane about it? Cause I'm looking, I'm like wanting to grab at shit like that. So I can only imagine if that like extended out and then quarantine ends and then it's like, okay, cool. Let's like go on a date. And then it doesn't like, imagine the fucking disappointment when it's like, maybe it doesn't crackle with fire and, you know, perfect chemistry, which I think is probably going to happen to a lot of people where it's like,
oh yeah, absolutely. Even
if that most people.
Yeah. So
I think it's the level of intimacy that's being created is both so heightened and also not, it's realer. It's realer than real. And it's also completely false. Cause it's like, there's going to be people who I can only imagine have had like full-on FaceTime sex. Yeah. and then they're gonna meet up and be like, oh, we have no physical chemistry.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I don't like the way they smell. It's like there's so much that has to be seen in real life and experienced in person, I think, to make a relationship work, that it'd be, I hope some people come out of you know, social isolation and they have like some sort of like nice love story. But I also think like it's pretty heightened times to begin something in a healthy way. I think you can definitely begin something in a too fast, too intimate, unearned way. But I think it'd be hard to start something legitimate right now. Like, you know, I don't know. And also it's the worst part of dating. It's like the texting and that all that stuff without the date. It's like, to me, that's the worst part of sort of dating.
Well, and I sort of stopped trusting myself with app sort of stuff when the last person who like really and I literally need to stop talking about this because I'm like, I'm over it. And it's like, okay, are you over it? Because you keep talking about it. the last person who like really did reject me and that I was like really, I was so into, and I was just, you know, you have that like really good date and night and you don't have sex, but you stay over and it's, that's cool. And I feel really comfortable with this person. I think they're so funny. Cool. I saw him on an app like months before and didn't match. And like, I think he liked me on Hinge and I didn't match with him because I wasn't sure. I wasn't like so stoked about it. And I also knew I was like, oh, I know who this guy is. Like, he knows one of my friends. I don't want to fucking deal with any of that. And I wasn't like, oh my God, I have to. And then I like met him months later and was like, wait, I'm so into you, you know? So now I'm like, do I even know shit? Probably not. I guess
I think you know shit. I also think you know shit. I also think truly dating and getting to know someone takes vetting. So you would have to see them a lot of times. Like, no, we don't know shit right away. I think we can have feelings or have gut instincts, but I think it just takes like date after date, someone showing up. Like, you have to vet your partner. We think we think we're bad pickers, but the truth is we need more information.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think there's nothing wrong with, and I don't even think it's really creating a scenario. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a rich fantasy life or to let your mind go to places that are exciting to you. But at the same time, it's like, there's a lot of thoughtless dating happening and like, there has to be a middle ground, but I would much rather prefer someone who is extrapolating on the nature of, or the path a relationship could take, where the alternative would be, yeah, this guy seems okay, whatever, I'll let him buy me two drinks, I don't care. And then, are you going to go out to him again? Well, if he asks, I guess, whatever, I guess then we'll go out to dinner or something, I don't know. Like, I've had that before, too, where, like, I think both sides of the coin can be, you know, hazardous, where I've fully had someone do it to me and me do it to them, this person is the one after like one date. And then I've also had plenty of situations where the person just seemed like they couldn't be bothered, where I was like, hey, would you like to go out? Like, at the beginning of me going, oh, I think from now on I'm going to be really forthcoming and I'm not going to say let's hang out, I'm going to say I'd like to take you on a date, because I think people really like to hear that. And then the people I was saying that to, some of them were receptive and others were like, yeah, okay. Or like, okay, well, what are we going to do? Or, all right, let me know when I'm kind of busy this week. And it's not even that they didn't want to, but it's like, a lot of people are asking me on dates, I guess I'll give this bozo a shot. And so it's like, I think...
what a psycho energy.
I've never had a weirder feeling than having gone on two complete dates with someone and been like, I have no idea what this person thinks of me at all.
Don't know if they care if I live or die.
It's such a weird vibe.
Have you ever had that?
Who, me?
Either of you.
Wait, rephrase the question. Had it where you go on a date with someone and you're like, I have no idea if they even like me?
Yeah, like, and the outcome could be either that they fully don't, or they're like, are you kidding me? I'm obsessed with you.
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
What is that?
I think my experience of that is when I don't realize that I'm getting in my head, where I'm basically like performing a date instead of like actually, you know, I'm like trying so hard to make this person think I'm like funny and interesting and like entertain them, you know? That then later I'm like, I have no idea if they even, you know, like, okay, they laughed that one time. Does that mean that they fucking liked me at all? Or I don't know. But also, like, I have friends that the first couple of times I like hung out with them, I was like, I don't know if they even know that I even exist, you know? And then I find out later, like, no, yeah, we're very good friends, you know?
Aww. Yeah.
But
people are so weird. I guess that's the takeaway.
Yeah, people are weird. I also think for me, it was like, maybe a bit of an issue of like not getting enough feedback. Also, like a lot of time when someone likes you, it feels really clear in that they text you or they kiss you at the end of the date or something. But like I've gone on dates where like we've kissed and then I like don't hear from the guy and then I eventually do. And then, but he texts. So it's almost just like a lack of feedback, a lack of connection makes me go, I have no idea how this person feels about me. And truthfully, I typically have no idea how I feel about them in return because there's just, it's just all question marks.
Yeah.
Yeah. They throw the energy of the situation completely out of whack and it leaves you being like, huh?
Yeah. And you kind of are so take it or leave it, which is a really bad way to feel. I hate when I'm like super take it or leave it. Like I want to care if you exist and I want to care if I lose you. But a lot of the time for me, that stuff becomes very take it or leave it where I'm just like, I have no investment in this.
I wish we were more comfortable like asking the question though, you know, like I like joked about this. I'm like, all boys that I've had a crush on, tell me why you didn't date me. Ha ha. But I'm also like, but also, I mean, would that crush me? Absolutely. Probably. But I really did. I mean, I did it once with this last guy who rejected me because I really was like fully at a loss as to why that wasn't a thing. Cause I was like, I'm not, am I crazy? Like we liked each other. Right. Am I not fucking crazy? Right. So I did, it was like a, oh, let's be friends vibe. And yeah, after texting many of my friends being like, should I ask? And a lot of them were like, absolutely not, don't. And then someone was like, yes. But I did ask, but it was the thing of like, okay, well, I got the fucking answer that like the person wasn't ready to be dating right now, blah, blah. And you know what? I don't think that was a lie necessarily, but I wish that the time that I was brave enough to ask was not that fucking answer that gives me nothing. You know what I mean? But also, do I really want to hear why someone's like, but I don't know.
But ultimately, don't you also just think that always, like for me, when I don't date someone, it's not necessarily, it's never personal. It's never because of them. It's because of my lack of connection to them or my lack of, you know what I mean? It's like, it's more about me or... I guess that's not true because sometimes people do stuff where I'm like, oh, why did he do that?
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. My answer a lot of the time would be like, I didn't date you because like you texted me something and it grossed me out.
Like maybe that would be so beneficial for that person to know. I don't know. It depends. Like,
I think maybe if the reason if the reason is some tangible thing where it's like, you need to know this, you need to know the way that you behaved or you got blackout drunk on our second date. And even though you don't remember it that way, I think there are some teachable.
Yeah, that would be helpful. That can,
I think absolutely. However, when it is just it's not the right fit. I think it's fine to say that, but I also think that that doesn't really offer much in the way of
not helpful.
Yeah.
It's not, there's not much you can do with it. But I do want to say, I feel like it's dumb to be like, this is a great time to reflect and like really learn about yourself because it's like, we're all losing our minds. Who knows how much actual productive mental work is being done. But I do think whether you choose to dip your toe or your whole foot into some sort of quarantine app sitch where we're trading memes and visiting animal islands, whether or not it's like, this shit takes time to figure out. And I hope that I don't know, I say this as we're about to wrap up, but I really hope you find your lockdown Rupert Grint. I really do.
I do too. Oh,
babe.
I'm holding out hope for you. I really think it could happen.
I think what's going to happen is I'm finally going to invite someone on the podcast and then we're going to talk for 2 hours and then they're going to be like, wait, actually I'm in love with you. I'll be like, cool. Yeah. Same.
Come on over.
That's my version of it. That's my version. You know,
that's your version of the mall.
Listen, I create an atmosphere of intimacy. Of course I fall in love with everyone I have on my fucking podcast. Are you kidding? So one day it's going to click and that'll be it. Maybe that'll be very exciting.
Be a beautiful love story.
Keep doing it, and and you know, then maybe that person will be your co-host.
Oh my God, no! I only have one co-host, and that's I forgot to correct you that my Jack Black podcast is called Jacking Off with Rebecca and Richie. Richie will listen to this and be like, okay, she doesn't care that I'm her co-host. So
I didn't say that the show was called Jack. I didn't say it was called Jack Ralph with Rebecca Bowman.
So Richie doesn't fucking scream at me. Just kidding. Richie Owens is the sweetest person I know. He would never yell at me.
Okay, no offense to Richie. I did not mean it like that.
No. Sorry, Richie.
Please direct our listeners to any of the several places they can find you online.
Okay, yeah. So you can simply find me at Twitter is not Rebecca. My Twitter is,
that's so and good.
I guess will always be Almond Milk Hotel, because that's just where that it's always been. And you can follow my podcast, Classroom Crush, of which Dave has been a guest in all timer episode. We'll talk.
I would love to. I listened to your latest episode and I loved it.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm crying.
Really good. It's good.
I revealed way too much in that podcast.
It's so good. It's one of my faves. You can also listen to Jacking Off Pod. I think it's that Jacking Off Pod on Twitter. It's a Jack Black podcast. And
do you guys talk about individual movies?
We talk about it all, baby. We're in chronological order. The next one we're recording tomorrow, actually, Ice Age with Griffin Newman. So keep your eyes peeled.
Ooh. Wow, love Griff. Okay, love that's really Griff. Cool.
It's really fun, and one day Jack will be on it, I'm sure.
Well, we can hope. Rebecca, thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you for having me. That was so fun.
You were so wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh my God.
Listeners, go subscribe to her stuff. She's the best. And
she's cool.
And I will talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Stevie.
Dave.
That was fun, huh?
I have to say thank you for introducing me to Rebecca, because in all sincerity, I'm going to say this. I think she's going to be my friend. I really like her.
I love this. I feel like I have an innate ability to bring people together, whether it's romantic or not. But I'm very happy that this is working out.
Maybe the next podcast you and I do together will be where you and I matchmake, like, you bring a friend that you think would be good and I bring a friend that I think would be good, and we match make.
I think if anyone can do that, it's you and me. I will say I had a very similar idea for a podcast, and we recorded a pilot and it was terrible.
Really? What made it terrible?
Yeah, it was, in hindsight, I think my guests were not great.
Yeah. It's usually trash guests.
But it was called You Two Should Meet. And the idea was like, I know so many people. I've lived in Los Angeles for so long. I bet I could introduce two people who've never met and they would get along. Yeah.
That title's great. I love the title You Two Should Meet.
And that was the gimmick. Every time it would be like, hey, Stevie, Rebecca, you two should meet. And here's why. Rebecca does a podcast about relationships and Stevie has a podcast about relationships, and you both like comedy and you've both done improv before and you're both funny and you're both my friends. So let's talk. And it was just a very inorganic, also one of my guests was eating pizza on mic the entire time.
That's not good. That's not okay. No, also hard to tell an adult to stop eating pizza. You know, you don't want to have to do that.
Yeah. Cause it was like, the pizza was a bit of a thank you for allowing for letting me record them. And so I didn't want to be like, hey, stop eating this thing I got for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, God, though.
But that was fun.
That was so fun. She's wonderful. I love that she's always crushing on people. I think that's a very charming and funny quality for someone to have.
Yeah, I think she's very open-hearted, and she's definitely going to listen to this part, so hello. But I think...
Hey, Rebecca. Good to see you
again. I never... hey, Rebecca. Hello. Thanks for listening to yourself. And then now this. But I think it's going to... I always think it's going to be fine when people that I like that are in my life are either single or having some sort of a difficulty. I've never had someone in my life for a prolonged period of time. I've been like, this person's fucked. It's never going to work out for them. But yeah. I do think that rather than, and as we didn't even really get into this too much, but I think rather than delve into the world of quarantine crushes and endless DMs and stuff, I think even if you're not specifically working on yourself in quotes, because again, I don't like the idea of people needing to come out of quarantine a changed person. Everything is messed up right now, so most you can do is just take care of yourself. However, yeah. I think she seemed like she was in such a great place going into it, as far yeah. as having a great mindset and having a great job. I talked to her briefly. She's one of these people where you know, you fade in and out of people's lives here and there, and then you reconnect and it's like no time has passed. So we were talking and she was like, oh, I actually got this great new job. And she was telling me all about it. It sounded great. And yeah. then, yeah, recently she lost it because everyone, for the most part, has lost their jobs. And so yeah. I hope she's able to go back to it. I hope that she can thrive and feel good in the way she was feeling good. And I really genuinely think people can feel that and they can tell.
I do, too. I think the most attractive thing I think the most attractive thing in general, like attractive in terms of attracting good friends, attracting a partner, attracting good things to come to you, is just by liking your life. And despite the fact that we're in social isolation, I agree with you. I think like if you feel good, it radiates and it shows. And historically, when I felt good, I typically tend to meet people, you know? I actually feel pretty good right now, but I don't know. I don't want a quarantine boyfriend.
Yeah, you had gone on a 6 feet apart walk, and you were talking to someone. Yeah. That's no longer happening. I take it.
No, I think ultimately, he just wasn't what I wanted, you know, like it just wasn't what I wanted. And I really enjoy my own company. And if my own company feels better than when I talk to someone else, that's not a good sign to me.
No, yikes. Certainly not.
Yeah. I want to be like, I really want to be like laughing with someone. There has to be levity and tons of laughter and funny for me to stay interested. And, you know, hard to do that in isolation.
Well, hard to do that with someone who's not funny.
It is. It's challenging.
But also some people aren't, some people don't try to be funny. I mean, I feel cursed. I mean, it's working out extremely well for me personally currently, but I'm the same way. I need someone who's funny, and I've always been that way. And so maybe I've in the past sacrificed certain other qualities for this funny one that seems paramount to me. And honestly, I think my girlfriend and I are an extremely good match, and I love her to death, but she's so funny. And she's also, would you believe it? She's got all the other qualities I like in a person. And aww, in the past, it's been like, in the past, I've definitely dated hilarious, adorable weirdos, and they've lacked a couple of,
yeah,
I mean, no offense, no essential qualities. Well, or you know, not even essential, because you know, like the good Lord Dan Savage says, there's good short term relationships that end, and we can't measure a relationship by how long it lasts as a way of being successful, because it's like a lot of those people we're great for the time and for the time we spent together. And I have a full appreciation for that. But yeah, for something sustainable, especially for now, like if you were talking to someone and having a lot of conversations and taking walks where you couldn't like be intimate with someone, and they weren't bringing it with, like, if you're not a funny texter in a time when all we can do is like be alone in our houses, Dave, texting each other.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I felt. I was like, if you have to be, for me, it's really important for me for a partner to be funny over text and in real life. And I've done the same thing you've done before, where I've sacrificed things in the name of dating someone who's funny. I've sacrificed things in the name of dating someone who loves their job or whatever it is. And I'm looking for the whole package, and I'm really looking to have a lot of fun with someone. And so, yeah, it's got to be there or I'm out.
Yeah, because you have a lot of, I mean, when you really think about it, you have a lot of really fun, funny friends that you really like being around, that you laugh all the time with. And it seems like a weird disconnect to have that relationship with your friends. And then in your romantic relationship, it's a very self-serious person who's,
Yeah, that doesn't work for me. I always say that too. I'm like, I don't have a friend who's not funny. I don't have a friend who doesn't make me laugh. I don't have a friend who I don't hang out with and laugh the entire time. Yes, we can have the serious, genuine conversations, but truthfully, even those have a ton of laughter. I don't think you and I have talked about a breakup without laughing about something, you know? And that's, if my friends can bring that, I want a partner who can bring that too. There's got to be levity.
Oh, totally. I think that's why we enjoy doing this podcast together, because we've had some very serious episodes, but I cannot name a single one that wasn't with, well, there's one that we didn't release for there's one that is locked away in a vault somewhere,
but or we the cannot link has expired, find yeah
that we thankfully cannot find, because it's probably really upsetting. But we were both extremely sad, and there was actually no levity to it. But I think that the marker of some of the best times we've had on this show are when something serious is being discussed, or a guest is sharing something intimate or personal with us, and we're able to listen and communicate and hear them, and also
laugh.
Somebody says something really funny to break the tension, and it just makes everything better. Ugh, and so
it's the best.
Let's just say, listeners, if you're looking to date Stevie when this is all over, you got to be funny.
You got to be funny.
And you can't be fake funny. You can't be like, oh, I quote movies, so I'm funny. You can't tell weird jokes. You have to be a genuine funny person.
Leave me out of your pun jokes, and leave me out of your loud comedy, and just be actually funny, or I am out so fast. Dave?
Yes.
Where can people find us?
Steve, people can find us the same place they can always find us every week. They can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. They can call us 213-458-5236. They can email us at iburneverythingpod@gmail.com. Once again, just going to be transparent here. We are our bucket of correspondence, of emails and voicemails. The bucket is empty. Folks,
fill it back up.
And fill it back up. Just poke your head in and just tell us how you're doing, because we're worried about you and we care about you.
Check in with us. We need to hear from you.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll be back at you real soon. I'll be back in my closet recording this show, and we'll see you guys real soon.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
It's Allie, and we host the Rom-Com Review podcast, P.S. I Love Rom-Coms. Each week, we'll have incredible guests come and discuss a new rom-com, grand gestures, meet-cutes, and of course, that elusive chemistry. Mia, what are you doing holding that giant boombox over your head? I'm hoping to win over listeners with this grand gesture. Take us back! Find a new episode every week and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Campfire Media. Wow, you're still holding that boombox.
Yeah, I've got great upper body strength. Thanks, CrossFit.
P.S. I love rom-coms.
I love rom-coms.
Campfire.